Blog Talk Radio.
Because the Cherokees was not always there. So they were called Anindiga, which meant we the people. And all the tribes started naming themselves, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we the people. Because that was the first line of the Iroquois Constitution. So when the Constitution was set up here as a remembrance of who they are, most of the Native Americans in their own dialect named the tribe we the people. As a group, because we all had to unite to survive.
And attesting to this fact, Congress passed House Resolution 331, the Iroquois Confederation established the United States Constitution.
What they don't mention is that there were already people here, there was black people already in America, which are the parents of all those people from different parts of Africa.
So most of us were shipped from America to Africa and Europe, contrary to popular belief.
Indigenous people of this land, the Chinese came in, mixed in with them, and produced what you're calling Native Americans today or Indians. And the Caucasian gave them all our rights.
Right.
Now they're walking around saying Cherokee, Choctaw, Seneca, Cheyenne, and we're walking around saying African, African, African.
Do you want to claim one part or the whole thing, Khalid Muhammad?
We got to go up against the world and tell them who the hell we are and stop letting them tell us who we are. They didn't change who we are in the last 100 years, 5 different times. We were nigger, Negro, Afro-American, now African-American.
We have invented the nigger. I didn't invent him. White people invented him.
And as long as you keep saying you're Negroes and accept organizations like the NAACP, you will never have rights to what is rightfully yours. You with me? But the moment you start saying, I am an indigenous person, sovereign, I belong to a sovereign nation, they can't do jack with it. Because they have admitted in their textbooks that they came to America, and when they got here, people were already here. And all you're saying to them is, correct, I am of the people that was already here when you got here.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of radio station WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's black power. Right here.
Don't tell me no other place, I don't know nothing. Just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, and some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois, and some West Virginia, some Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota. See, I can't name all the different places now. But I'll leave everybody out. Don't get mad because I just, you know, just a cat trying to keep it going. Some Ohio, too, yeah. Some Indiana, Michigan. Kentucky, Tennessee. Yeah. I'm getting it together, you know. Just give me a little time.
100 years later, the Negro is still languishing in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. Now, have you ever wondered what that passage meant from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech? I did, and what I found was one of the biggest secrets that's not really a secret at all, except to many African Americans, is they are not descended from Africans. I know, I was shocked too, so much so that I asked Africans, and they agreed African Americans weren't Africans. If you don't believe me, Google Arnoldus Montanus America and see the people he saw in 1671. Read books like The Black American Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century by Radine Amin-Ra, What Every African American Should Know by Cary Davis, and Africans and Native Americans by Jack Forbes. I just can't believe schools aren't teaching this stuff. What a travesty.
Jalito, greetings. This is El Rod Smith Bay. You are tuned in live to another episode of our Talk Tons of America. Solar photovoltaics in safety class, the final part. Okay. As always, I'd like to thank the ancestors for allowing me to use this information so that I can give it out to my people and to the world. I say, with that being said, we're going to dive right into it. All right. You know, we're going to discuss, basically, you know, again, we're going to review what we learned throughout the class. Going to discuss what I've taught y'all. For those who are new to the radio show, you know, this is dealing with solar energy, renewable, sustainable energy sources, specifically photovoltaics or solar energy. All right. We're also going to deal with OSHA, which stands for Occupational Safety and Health Administration. We're going to deal with that creation, that entity, right, that was created in 1970, okay, from the Occupational Safety and Health Act, all right, 1970. That's how that entity was created, and it began in that time, and it was designed specifically to provide training for safety and health. And to prevent any, you know, type of injury to occur on a workplace, okay? It was just to have a healthy and safe work site for employees, okay? Yeah, that's a good summary. Now, I just completed the OSHA 10-hour training course. And this was also a part of solar photovoltaics training as well. So it was like a two-in-one, really. This is like a very great opportunity for me to expand, you know, some of my credentials. Because now once I've completed this course successfully and I passed this final, you know, as I did today, I received my certificate of completion of the solar photovoltaics and safety class, okay? And I will be receiving my OSHA 10-hour training card within the next month. There's, like, a lot of things you can do with that. And you can do with this card, you know, with this type of knowledge now. Because now, you know, I can say I'm a qualified person, right? And it can also provide a broader area or new pathway, you know, dealing with careers. You know, if I want to go to that route, I can. Okay. But the OSHA 10-hour training basically help you to learn how to avoid electrical, chemical, and mechanical dangers, all right? How to avoid them, how to prevent them, and how to spot them, basically. So, like, that's what that's why I can say I'm qualified, you know, to work as a solar installer, okay, a solar module or panel installer. I'm also qualified as a site surveyor, pretty great. And you can use OSHA 10 safety training card for like a number of jobs that you want to apply to. You know, I'm just doing it to build my resume and also to learn this knowledge so that I can implement it on my own uses, right? Or on my own businesses that I'm going to build up, and also, you know, work for certain people and help build up the infrastructure within my own community, because that's where it began. With the people. Now, if you have any questions or comments, feel free. Call in, you know.
La, la, la.
A pause for 1 minute, as always. Just a refresh for those knowing the show. 10 minutes into the show, I take a break and have a question and answer so the phone lines are open. You know, we get some dialogue going, and then 20 minutes deep ball. So have another question and answer session and repeat the same thing. Conclude the end of the show. Phone lines are open. And again, this course was a 22-hour total, that totaled up 22-hour training of safety training and solar photovoltaics. And there's also certain levels of certification that you can get. There's the 30-hour OSHA training card you can receive. And, you know, the higher you go up, you get an OSHA 90, right? And you can get certain classifications. You get certain steps on the ladder, okay? You have more authority, you know, the higher up the number is on these OSHA cards, okay? And the higher the authority, the higher the pay, your pay is, okay? Yes, you know, would I advise anyone to take this class? Absolutely, because, you know, pretty great class. You know, if you're not aware of, you know, the many dangers that exist, and you're not aware of how to prevent these dangers or how to avoid them, you know, it's, and I'm, when I say dangers, I'm talking about, you know, dealing with electricity, you know, dealing with currents and amps such as power lines, household appliances, you know, oil spills, leaks, right, carbon monoxide leaks, etc. You know, if you're not made aware of, and it's just the simple things, you know, that can actually cause a lot of harm to yourself and to others, okay? And it tells you, once you take these classes, that OSHA is what's created to protect the employee, not the public, okay? So it's some pretty great information that you can learn, that you can implement in everyday life, how to better handle certain situations that may arise, you know, as far as safety and health concerns, you know, dealing with certain chemicals. You need a certain type of glove you should wear, you know, a class A, class B, a class C glove, what kind of glove will you need? Dealing with construction on construction sites, you're going to need a certain type of class hard hat, as well as a certain type of visibility vest, okay, class A, B, or C. Again, so it's a lot of information that's pretty important and not available to the public, okay, because they say in the guidelines to protect the employee, not the operation, not the consumer, in other words, okay. You know, there's also certain limits on certain types of being exposed to certain amount of chemicals that can be highly toxic, okay, being exposed to certain high amounts of sound, which are measured in decibels, right? You know, going above 90 decibels, that can actually, once you cannot hear anymore, it will destroy your hearing. Anything over more than 90 decibels, okay? And that's the measurement of sound, vibration, and the eardrum. You know, there's also many types of things we went over that can be applied. You know, like I said, the gloves, the hard hats, you know, being made aware of, you know what I'm saying, electric accidents that may occur or electric hazards and how to avoid them, you know, dealing with electricity in wet conditions, okay? That's a no-no. That's a huge no-no. And by common sense, everyone should know that water actually carries and acts as a conductor of electricity, just as metal. Metal is a conductor of electricity and current, as well as voltage, okay? And also being made aware of how to properly use or the proper use of tools, and tools that can be used every day, like a saws, hammers, right, nail guns, etc. Learning the proper body positioning, you know, there's a lot of techniques that can be learned to use. All right, we're 20 minutes deep in the show. If you got any questions or comments, feel free to call in. Phone lines are open.
Yes, I have a question.
I'll go ahead.
Is there a way to make, like, a homemade version of solar panels?
That's a great question. There most definitely is a way to create solar panels, you know, so you can have your own solar system at home. And you know, that's what I haven't studied as far as I haven't reached that point to actually give you the whole process. But I can tell you that, yes, there is a way. I'm learning on that way right now as far as, you know, doing it, like, at home.
Okay. Yeah, that's something interesting. Maybe next time you could, like, inform us on how to do that.
Right. That's great. Great idea.
Okay, thanks.
De nada. Very great question. Yeah, that's a great question. Very great question. And, you know, I'll make sure on the next show to have the answer to that, have a solution to that question. Oh, yeah, I just want to also add that if you look at calculators. You'll notice that they have, you know, the material that appears on solar panels, right? You know, the black squares or rectangles that you see that are called solar cells that make up the solar panel, called a solar module. You can kind of see that on most calculators, or rather, you know, not the recent calculators, but, you know, the calculators in, like, 2000 version calculators. You know, it appear to have what looks like a solar panel. Okay, and now to get more, you know, into the language of solar. Solar panels, or rather solar modules, are basically made up of a chemical composition, or they're composed of silica and sand, okay? You know, that's one of the main compositions of the solar panel. There's many other elements that are involved, but those are the two main elements. And dealing with calculators, there's something called amorphous silicon, okay? It has been used as a photovoltaic solar cell material for devices which require very little power, such as pocket calculators, because their lower performance compared to conventional crystalline silicon solar cells is more than offset by the simplified and lower cost, okay, of deposition onto a substrate. You know, that was a lot of solar talk there. So I'm going to break it down, make it a little clear for you. Now, you know, these solar calculators, right, what they actually do is convert light, okay? And this can be light from a light bulb, right? And they convert this light into electrical energy, okay? And they only require a very small amount of energy to produce, you know, in order for this device to be operated. So, you know, that's just something very cool to learn about, that this calculated energy is generated on a photovoltaic panel that you see. It absorbs the light and converts it into energy that powers the calculator, okay? So if you're not made aware, they use that in, like, every day. They were using that back in the day for calculators, and they're still using it now because it's a very easy and efficient way of powering low-energy acquiring devices, such as a calculator. Just wanted to drop that on y'all real quick. If y'all ever wondered, now you know. Yes, that is solar cells on the calculator. And if any more questions or comments, feel free to go ahead. The show is coming to an end. Call in. Do it that way. All right. Looks like no one didn't call in. So with that being said, I will promptly end the show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Tonight, this is Del Ross Smith Bay. Tune in to our Talk Times of America Network. Okay. Solar photovoltaics or solar PV and safety class final part. Okay, with that being said, everyone enjoy the rest of the night. I'll be on tomorrow at 10 o'clock p.m. Central Time Zone. Your identity is your most valuable possession, because without it, you are no one. Thank you. Wanishi.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of radio station WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's Black Power. Right here.
Don't tell me no other place. I don't know nothing. Talk about my home, just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, and some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois, and some West Virginia, some Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota. See, I can't name all the different places now. If I leave anybody out, don't get mad, because I just, you know, just a cat trying to keep it going. Some Ohio, too, yeah. Some Indiana, Michigan. I'm coming pretty good. Kentucky, Tennessee. Yeah. I'm getting it together, you know. Just give me a little time.